that we and those listening on the radio and internet and CD would give full attention to his exposition of your word, that we may apply what we learn and enjoy the blessings that follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
I'm so glad that we returned to the book. And so we complete chapter by chapter the studies of these. It's a counseling book. It's a book that tells you the experience of a man who trusted God. Just to review with you, chapter 1, Nehemiah get bad news. And what do you do when you get bad news? Remember what Nehemiah did? He prayed, number one. And then, number two, he knew what to do first. Your first move when you get that bad news is the most important step in your life. And you want to be sure that that move is done correctly under God's direction. Chapter 1. Chapter 2, he got the blessings from the king, surprising him after 4 months of praying and waiting. The king, God used an unexpected situation. Remember, he was pale. And people who learn to read other people's faces medically know when a person has something wrong. And the king said to the, remember Nehemiah? Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? And Nehemiah said, no, nothing is wrong, but he spilled the beans. And the king blessed him. And before he make any move, he investigate and he evaluate what he need to do. In chapter 3, Nehemiah was a CEO, you will call it today. He organized. He organized every family and the spot that their ancestors were living, and everybody cooperate and get a remarkable job done by everybody. And then chapter 4, the unexpected expected, I said, because in life, nothing is so smooth. Always there are bumps on the road. In chapter 4, Nehemiah get the confrontation of the enemy with lies and all kinds of things. Chapter 4 and chapter 5 is just ugly because Nehemiah had to face those people. Now, chapter 6 is still on the heart of confrontation. And I think that the lesson on chapter 6, to me, the lesson is no vacillation. He knew what he was doing, and he pursued it regardless the situation. And let me unfold the chapter before you so that we go home with the lesson that if we are sure that this is God's will, then we pursue it in spite of a mountain of difficulties. Now, I want to give you some background that you need to know before reading, studying chapter 6. You need to know how your arch enemy works against you. When I was in soccer, young and athletic, the coach briefed us 2 or 3 days before the game. And if this team have this player and this player, this is what these players do. And remember, we don't have, you know, the thing that you film today. We have those 16 millimeters machines. And look at what the player does. Now, if the coach brings this player and this player, this is what you do. In other words, we get to know very well the other team, especially those fullbacks and goalies. We have to know exactly what these other people will do so that we act correctly. Your enemy and my enemy is Satan, and he only used 2 tactics against us. One is in 1 Peter, the Bible, you need to move to 1 Peter, page 1324, 1 Peter chapter 3. There is one of the tactics of our enemy. This is what he uses. I said chapter 3, and it was chapter 5, and verse 8. Here is what the enemy, our enemy, the devil, when he attacked you, on the two fronts. He could attack you with fear. Look at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, those who live in Morton Hill, we know that we, at least, we don't have a lion. I never saw a lion in Morton Hill, but I saw a mountain lion just across my face. I love to do biking, and I take to Co Park, my road across the bridge here. And here I'm alone in the whole area and pedaling. And then I look up to see how the deep of the mountain, where I'm going to move my back and so on to avoid. And here I see a big mountain lion, black as can be, looking to me, see how juicy was this person coming in. So what do? When you see something like that, you stop and you look it in the face. And I clock myself, because you're gonna run. If you run, you're dead. So I look it on the face, and he looked to me in the face, and we studied each other for 45 minutes. Finally, he said, I don't like this guy, and run away. That's what Satan does to you. He brings fear into your life so that you do not obey God. That's just one attack. We're going to see it in chapter 6. The second attack is Satan cannot get you afraid. You move your Bible to 2 Corinthians in chapter 11, page 1263. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then in verse 14, Satan, if he cannot make you afraid and so stop you to obey God, in chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. He attacks you with flattering words. He wants to make sure that you are the centerpiece of your life, no Christ. A lot of people said, well, I will go to your church. So I'm sorry, I had no church. Do you have no church? Are you the pastor of Bethel? Yeah, the pastor of Bethel is about this church. This is not my church. Whose church is this? Christ. We pastors have to really switch quickly to that. Because you can say, oh, this is my church. That's what Satan wants. You see? It's just very, very important that you do that. So now we're going to see the attack. That's a good part of having the Old Testament and the New Testament. We don't have to study anybody's life. We're going to study Nehemiah. And you're going to see here the attack. And my purpose is that you, when you are sure you are doing God's will in your life, you do not vacillate. You keep on doing God's will. Okay? Let's see the action now. The historical information. All right? They try to attack Nehemiah. Let's go back to Nehemiah. The first attack to Nehemiah took the form of fear. Chapter 6 of Nehemiah, please. And look with me, verses 1 to 4. They really want to get Nehemiah in trouble. Now it happens, in the scripture, when Sanballat, Tobiah, Gesem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies hear that I have rebuilt the wall and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had no hung the doors in the gate, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plains of Ono, but they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should we work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message four times, and I answer them in the same manner. Now, you can see the attack took the form of fear. I said, you better reason with me. You better have something. You know, Nehemiah, you're trying to do something, and you do not know what is ahead of you. It is very bad. It is impossible. We better reason together. If you look with me in chapter 4, in verse 7 and in verse 8, look at what they said at that time. Chapter 4, verse 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arab, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and to create confusion. And so they want to come in a mighty way. They want to come and move in action. And so that you become afraid of the situation. Now, on chapter 6, it's so beautiful because you can see the other side of Satan, how he works. And look at it in chapter 6 and in verse 4. Some people said, well, I have been under the attack of Satan. You think that Satan will leave you. Look at verse 4. But they send me this message, the message to quick and to hide himself. They send me this message 4 times. That's persuasion. Is that right? Persuasion. 4 times. And Satan trying to tell you from different ways and is persistent. He works with that persuasion. He's putting you in a corner, and he's trying to make you so afraid that you start doubting God's word. Not only that, he also used threats. Look at chapter 6, in Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 5 to 9. Then Sanballat sent his servants to me as before the 5th time with an open letter in his hand. The word open letter is an old Asian expression to unseal letter. A letter that comes from a king, a document, need to be delivered and sealed with the thumb of the king. Now that's important because that gave Nehemiah, who worked in the king house, an idea if that letter was legal or not legal. See, they don't know they are dealing with a real genius. See, he spent his life with a king. And he was not just doing the job. He was observing what the things go. So remember that word open letter, unsealed letter. And so they come to Nehemiah with that. And look at verse 6. In it was written, look at what is it. It is reported among the nation. This letter is like the king wrote the letter. It is reported among the nations. And Jesen says that you and the Jew plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophet to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying there is a king in Judah. Now, these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Then I sent to him saying, no such thing as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. For they all are trying to make us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. Now, some observations. In verse 6, for example, you see the Arabs in action. It is reported among the nation. And Jeshem, if you go to chapter 2 and verse 19, then you know that the word Jeshem means the Arabs. That's written in a different language and retranslated. In chapter 2, verse 19 said, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Amorites, the official, and Jeshem, the Arabs. And so seeing things are not changing too much in Jerusalem. It's still the same. The Arabs were in opposition to this. Now, what the Arabs said in verse chapter 6 and verse 6 said that you and the Jew plan to rebel. Oh, really, the original is a little stronger in the verb. It means you are plotting a revolt. See? So this is important. Now, in chapter 6, verse 8, Nehemiah can say, no such thing as you say are being done. In other words, remember, you are a lie. How the he can say that? Because it was an unsealed letter. Remember? It was an unsealed letter. If the letter was from the king, have the seal of the king. But the letter was unsealed. And so Nehemiah was very, very alert. Now, that's one thing that we Christians need to be. We Christians need to be alert. When we are attacked by Satan, and this happens almost every day to us, when we are attacked by Satan, we need to be alert. Is this true or not true? We really need to have that wisdom that Nehemiah had. Is this from God or not from God? And so threats came to Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not panic, and he looked on it. If you are a Christian, your life is tough. As I preached in the memorial service, life is not a walk on the park. It's tough. And you as a Christian need to be your own psychologist. And you analyze the situation. Is this true concerning to God or is not true? It's very important. And Nehemiah had that ability in his life. Also in chapter 6, verse 10 to 14, Satan trying to work through deception. Look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehethabel, who was a secret informer. A secret informer is not so revealing. The word should be translated, who claimed to have information. Oh, I know something you don't know. No, something like that. Who claimed to have information, see? A secret informer claimed to have information. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple, for they are coming to kill you. Indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Now, Bible knowledge is very important at this time. The confrontation looks reasonable. The confrontation looks protective. But is that true to God? Remember what they said? Let's come into the temple. Now Nehemiah starts thinking, who can go into the temple? So this is how he answered. Look at how beautiful. All right? And here's what verse 10 says, that they came. They're trying to kill you, protect yourself. Verse 11, I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. Now, why Nehemiah say that? Look at verse 12. Then I perceive that God hath not sent him. Why? Because nobody can go into the temple. Who can go into the temple? The priests. A priest only. So he knew. Here's another theological error. He said, you come into the temple to protect you. Sir, I cannot go into the temple. The temple was divided in two sections, the holy place for the priest and the holy of holies for the high priest. And Nehemiah learned the lesson, memorized what God wants at that particular time in that particular era. And he said, I will not violate God's law. So God is not going to ask me to do something in violation of his word. Years ago, I will not use the word, but years ago, irritates me when I think of these people. Somebody told me, are you a homosexual? Boy, oh boy. I look on it. I said, why do you think I'm a homosexual? He said, well, you are against homosexuality. No, I'm just a man. You are a man. What's the problem? He said, well, have you tried homosexuality? I said, what can I do with this fellow? He was a science companion of mine. And I said, well, why you say that? He said, well, have you tried or not? Now, in medicine, that means you have to prove, you have to have evidence of things. I know. And I said, no, I don't need to try it. Why? Because God's word said that that's an abomination before the Lord. I said, well, no, wait a minute. I go by the law. My law is that book. And that book said, you don't need to try it. You don't need to be so stupid to try something that God said is an abomination. And that saves you problems. When you know the scripture and you are in doubt, you find in the scripture what the scripture said and do what the scripture said. That eliminates all the problems. You are a young fellow and you see a nice blonde girl with blue eyes or dark hair with dark eyes, whatever you like, and you see her moving and you say, "Hi, Mamma Mia." But now, is she a believer or not? That's the first question come to your mind. Of course, when you are 16, 17, 18, 19, doesn't come to your mind. But go to your mama and let your mama shake you a little bit. "Oh, I love my blonde neighbor where I used to live." My mother said, "Oh, son, no." I said, "I don't know. You know, you are 20, 18. Son?" In other words, be careful what you do. Be extremely careful. Here's what the scripture said. Verse 12, "I will not go in." Verse 12, "I perceive that God hath not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat hath hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin so that they might have cause for an evil report that they might reproach me." In other words, now I can get in trouble. If I walk into the temple, they can say, "This man violated the Jewish law. He is in trouble," and put the finger on him. Boy, he Nehemiah was absolutely a genius. Verse 14, "My God," now prayer. "My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their work, and the prophetess, Nodiah, and the rest of the prophet who will have made me afraid." In other words, remember this. And the lesson is very important. Do not take everyone's advice just because they are friendly to you. Listen to the drumbeat of God's word. Read your word. I told my Spanish class today, the safety of your life is just read that word. Let that word go through your mind. So when you make a decision, you make a decision according to scripture. And then you know that you are doing right. You are doing right. Never a dull moment in your life. Even yesterday at memorial service, as somebody greeted me, he said, "You really discriminate us today." So I hope so. "What?" "Yeah." I said, "It's only the Bible." He said, "That's what I'm talking about. You make the Bible the only authority." I said, "Boy, I never knew they were so smart. You learn good." And then he feel good and they stopped to do any harassment. But I tell you, we are attacked very smoothly by Satan. Young people tell me, "Well, I date this girl, and when we get married, I bring her to church." The likeness is that you never go to church again. And you don't date a girl that is an unbeliever. Actually, you don't date any girl. You visit with a girl. That's much better. I never date Raquel. I visit. The family explained to me, if you want to one day be married to her, you visit us. And I did. And her mother cooked so good, so I visit every week. Nehemiah, we're under the attack of persuasion, threats, and deception. But God is at work. Look at verse 15. "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul and the 52 days. Wow. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it and all the nations around us saw the things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by God." Wow. When you don't show up too much and God shows in you, that's what really counts. That's what really counts. God is at work. Is God at work in you that your neighbors can say, "Boy, oh boy, the God of this fellow is just marvelous"? That's what it is. That's what the key is. This is the historical reality. We don't have to show ourselves up. We need to show God up. How do you do that? By obeying God. Little children, when you obey your mother, you shine. You ask a quarter at the end of the day to your mother. You receive, deserve a car, a quarter, or a bar of chocolate, whatever you like it. You know, when you obey God, the enemy is destroyed. You don't have to fight Satan. Some people say, I want to pray for the demon. Don't pray for the demon. Just obey God, and God get the demons away. Verse 17 and 18, the enemy is at work too. Look at verse 17. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah sent many letters to Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came to them. For many in Judah were pledged to him because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, the son of Jehohanan, had married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Berechiah. See, they were related by family, and so everybody is trying. In the intermarriage of Jews and Arabs, they have a compromise, and the people of Judah have compromised, and so now they cannot stand on the truth because of compromise. My brother and sister, when you and I compromise, we are weakened. We are weakened, and we cannot stand in front of people. But the devil never quits. Look at verse 19. Also, they reported his good deeds before me and reported my words to him. Tobias sent letters to frighten me. Now, they saw the whole thing. They saw the whole episode. They saw the work of these people. They saw the intelligence of Nehemiah. They saw the marvelous direction that Nehemiah have. They saw the alertness of Nehemiah, but it's still the enemy punching line. My friend, Satan never sleep. Remember 1 Peter 5:8, like a roaring lion. You know, in my watching that mountain lion, I said, I don't know, I have only a little inflator. What are you going to do? And I look on it, and that guy never move. Never make a move. Is he juicy, not juicy? You know, they make a decision. And that's what Satan does. That's what Satan does. He said, why he doesn't attack the world? You know why? Satan has the world in their hand. They believe lies. Look at America. They believe that if you said homosexuality is an abomination to God, that is discrimination. And very soon, I maybe go to jail because that will be to say something that is horrifying to people. And they maybe sue the church because the people who are homosexual are suffering for my words. You never know what Satan will do. We never know. So I'm memorizing the scripture in case I'm in jail. I just repeat the scripture. You see, Satan is going to raise up. Remember what we study in Revelation? Satan is going to raise up to think that he has control of the world, and God will let it in. And when Satan think that he's in control, Jesus come. So that's what I want. But meanwhile, you need to do two important things in your life. Number one, to know this book, the Bible. Don't go to college. Don't go to seminars. Don't go to any place. In your home. Do you have an hour for God? I ask you too much? All right, you're busy. Half hour for God. How fast you read? Read a chapter a day. Read it. Don't try to do theology. Don't try to understand. Just read it. And I'm sure you have a mind like mine. As soon as you read it, certain things, plong, 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 plug in your mind. And you read it again. Like, for example, a book of Proverbs. You read it all through a month. Next month, read it again. It's going to stick with you. And next month, read it again. For 1 year, just read the book of Proverbs until the book of Proverbs is in your head. Boy, you will be so wise. And then there are people who read 5 Psalms a day in this church. 5 Psalms a day. Imagine the wisdom. That's what you need. You need to read the scripture. That's point number one. That's half of the story. You need to read the scripture. I have not saying that enough. You need to read the scripture. If you believe, you know, Brother Jack loves little books and so on. So I bought a nice New Testament, Brother Jack, in a special leather. And I said, Jack, this is yours. He pulled from his pocket and this is yours, the Constitution, United States of America. That was Jack. So I want you to memorize it for the next week. I'm going to ask you a question. Each time we were home, I said, okay, page so-and-so, what is this? And he asked me questions like that. I better read it and memorize it, because otherwise, he said, so do you stand according to law, he said. And so it's as good as Christians. We need to stand according to law. But there is one more thing. And it's right here in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, in chapter 11. In the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 11. The story goes that Jesus is walking in Judea. Verse 20. Now in the morning, 11:20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dry up from the roots. The year before, Jesus passed by and saw a tree, a fig tree, have no fruit. And you know, any Jew likes figs, any Spaniard likes figs with honey. That's beautiful. And Jesus said, if the coming year you have no fruit, you will dry up, said Jesus. And the disciples saw that. Oh. But look at what happened. In verse 20, they were walking, and the fig tree dry up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, you know, Rabbi means teacher. Look, the fig tree which you curse have withered away. Wow, Jesus, you say something and really happened. Now, here's the counsel of Jesus in this beautiful verse 22. And Jesus says, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And so there are two things for us, if we do not want to vacillate. One is you need to be informed of what God said. Read the scripture. And then have faith in God. So when I say this Bible is the word of God, it's not my idea. 2 Timothy 3, remember? Verse 16 and 17 said that this is God's breath. If you read it, you believe it. If you don't read it, you do not believe it. This is God's breath. I have in my Spanish class, I don't know if Leo remember, it was in front of Leo, a man. When we say in the class, accidentally, you say, esta es la palabra de Dios. This is the word of God. The man, look on it. It was like this. And I said, what happened to you? I can't believe it. This is the word of God. Wait a minute. No. He said, leave it like that. He really took it seriously. He said, why are you afraid? Because if I don't obey, God's going to kill me. You better believe it. She left. See, we know it's the word of God. We don't argue about it. But we leave it away. 2 Timothy 3:16. This is the word of God. So I read it. Before the newspaper, I read this. Now look, some people say, what can I do to go to heaven? What the word of God said? Paul was in jail by certain action and things that happened. The door of the jail were open, and the officer said, sir, what must I do to be saved? Acts chapter 16, remember, verse 30, 31. Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe. Not just know Jesus, but believe Jesus. Believe that Jesus took your place in Calvary Cross. Believe that you're a sinner. Believe that you yourself cannot improve by yourself. The only thing that can change you is Jesus Christ. Believe that. If you don't believe, you're still the same. When you want to know standards, what are your standards? I tell people, right here, Romans 4:3. Paul said, what says the scripture? That's the standards. So my friend, do not vacillate. The enemy is going to come left and right. Sometimes it's overwhelming. But nobody can be overwhelming over God. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. 1 John 4:4. And so therefore, the lesson for today is this. Nehemiah was under attack, but because of his consciousness of God, he was able to discern evil from good. And that's what we need. When somebody speaks, is that good or is that bad? Is that according to God's law or is not according to God's law? That is the important part. The rest is I need to believe it. I have this, it's not in the Bible, but I have this policy. Nobody believes until you practice what you believe. That was my coach told me. I like to swing to the left because all the photographers were over there. And tomorrow newspaper had a boy catching the ball in the air, and I feel good about it. I said, Domi, these guys know that you like to swing left. They're going to kick to the right. Until one day, they kicked to the right, and a goal was put on. And I don't want to meet the coach underground. He was so mad, so mad. He said, all because of your pride, he said. He really put me down to the floor. And then he said, don't do it again, in my hand, and gone on. And listen, we all make mistakes. No one of us is perfect, I know. But let's be aware of what Nehemiah did. He was conscious of God and took decisions according to God. May you and I take decisions in our life according to God. And we will never be in trouble. We'll be under difficulties. We will be under attack, but never in trouble as Nehemiah was. He finished the work because he was clean before God. Let us be clean before him and obeying what he says. Thank you, Father, for the great lesson today. Thank you, Lord, that in the simplicity of this chapter, you have given us a deep and profound lesson. And the lesson is obvious. We claim that we know you. We claim that we have power with you. We claim this and claim the other. We claim ourselves Christians. And sometimes things happen to us because we do not practice what we believe. Revive us again and give us the strength to overcome, even in this evil world. In Jesus we pray, amen.
Darkens the sky. till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.
Father, we know that the storms are in our way, coming almost every day. But we know who is in the boat, Jesus. Cause us to believe him. Cause us to stand without vacillation in your word. And our life is going to be different. At least it's going to be secure. And victory will be always the end of the matter. Give us the strength, the courage, the patience to believe you, and the rest will be history. In Jesus we pray. Amen.